Pet Life Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, feline friends. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. You know, there's so many studies that have been done over the years, and what do they feature? Dogs, right? Dogs, dogs, dogs. Well, this is Catitude. We're about cats. And there is a fascinating study that just came out by Cargill. We're going to talk to the representative from Cargill and just fascinating information. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Michelle Fern here, and you know saving cats is near and dear to my heart. Did you know that there is an estimated 70 to 100 million free-roaming cats in the United States? And without spay-neuter, that number will keep growing. Not only does spay-neuter mainly reduce the community cat population, but it also keeps cats healthier. Scooter, the neutered cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Visit his website, givethem10.org, to help pioneer a better world for cats. That's givethem10, spelled out, T-E-N.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Chad Wethel. He is the Senior Global Marketing Manager of Pet and Lifestyle for Cargill's Animal and Nutrition Business, and they have just came out with a really interesting cat parent survey. Welcome, Chad.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you, and this is so interesting, your findings. But first, tell us, what is your role at Cargill, and what is Cargill's role in the pet industry?
Yeah, so as you said, I am the senior marketing manager for our global pet and lifestyle business, and specifically within animal, our Cargill Animal Nutrition business, and even more specifically within what we call our Micro Nutrition and Health Solutions Group. And this is really a group that helps brands, pet food brands around the world, support pet health and wellness with our innovative, proactive health and nutrition ingredients. And actually more specifically, postbiotics. And Cargill is really involved in the global pet industry, truly from farm to bowl, anything from sustainable ingredient sourcing through various points along the value chain, and even delivering finished products, pet bowls all around the world.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. This is going to be definitely interesting. I am sure of that. Let's talk about cat ownership. So, you know, here at Catitude, we always think it's better to, you know, have another cat. And the more households adopting cats and becoming cat pet parents, the less cats that are, you know, roaming around without homes. But cat ownership is always fought against dog ownership, but it's on the rise. So why is that?
Yeah, so definitely agree. And, you know, we found that recent report actually done by Innova, one of our market research partners, they just did a global pet study as well, and they actually found that about 60% now of global pet owners are actually cat owners. And more than a third of those cat owners are multi-cat owners. And I'm proud to say that our household is part of that statistic. We've got a two-year-old named Sylvester, and we have a 16-year-old cat named Toby. And really what we're really finding is that cat parenthood is on the rise, and it's really a result of this perfect storm playing out within the global pet market. Three of the key drivers that we see driving this growth are firstly, urbanization. So compact living spaces are clearly more favorable for cats than dogs. It just makes them more ideal companions for our urban dwellers out there. We're also seeing demographic shifts. So, you know, cats, as you know, as your audience knows, they tend to be a bit more independent, typically maybe have a tendency of less maintenance than dogs. So they're fitting more seamlessly, would say, into active pet parents' lives, whether they're busy for work. They've got growing families. They've got active social lives. They just kind of fit more seamlessly into these demographics. And then thirdly, we're still really seeing the remnants of a lot of this crazy growth that happened during the pandemic. So there was a surge in pet adoptions, as you know, and cats were really right in there. So between this kind of trifecta of things going on in the market, we really see cat household ownership just really skyrocket in recent years.
Yes, and I'm hearing that all over the place. And there was one of our show hosts that said, cats are like potato chips, can't have just one. So true. I think most cat households have two or more. That's just my guess, though. Cargill recently did a study on cat owners. What did your team want to learn more about with regarding cat parents?
Yeah. So, you know, within our group, our Cargill group, we are very data-driven, very insight-driven organization. And we really observed this sizable gap in the amount of information available on cat parents in comparison to your dog moms and your dog dads out there. And so we believe one of the best ways to really uncover the needs of really any consumer group is simply to ask them. So we completed this survey that included about 1,000 cat parents from across the US, UK, Germany, and France. And as a nutrition company, we really wanted to learn more about their perceptions of how nutrition plays a role in supporting cat health. We wanted to learn what is at the forefront of cat parents' minds when it comes to their cat's health. And we also wanted to learn whether or not they felt like they have the nutrition options at their disposal to actually support some of these health concerns.
That's really interesting. I know why you chose the US, but did you choose France, UK, and Germany because they are, I don't know, big cat countries or very cat forward? Or is that related to Cargill's interest in, you know, their business?
Yeah, that's right. So those would be your top four cat owning markets between the United States or North America and Western Europe.
What did the study reveal about cat pet parents? And were there any surprises?
Yeah, you know, like a lot of consumer insights projects work, in many ways, their survey was very validating in many ways of some things that we think we already knew. And, you know, one, we found that nearly half of cat parents are, in fact, concerned about their cat developing a health condition. I think you kind of mentioned earlier, cats are like potato chips, right? So I think there's this kind of sentiment in the industry that, you know, cat parents are maybe not as thinking about their cat's health needs or physical needs maybe in the same way as a dog, because they maybe aren't bonding or connecting with the cat in the same way.
Wait. I that was confusing. No, I said having more than one cat. Cats are stoic creatures. So I think cat pet parents are almost a little bit more concerned about their cat's well-being because you can't tell as much as from a dog. From my readings on your survey, that's what it showed.
Yeah, absolutely. Over half of the people that took the survey, they were actually concerned about their cat potentially developing some kind of health concern. And when we looked a little bit closer at, okay, well, we provided a very comprehensive list of various health conditions. And some of the top conditions that that we found rose to the top were things like vomiting, immune health, diarrhea. Hopefully people aren't eating their lunch as they're listening to this, but that's yeah. The life of a pet owner, right? So those are some of your leading contributors. Interestingly, you know, as we kind of looked at some of the different regions, now overall on the whole, there was a lot of probably not surprisingly similarities between concerns, regardless of which part of the world they lived in. But there were actually a couple of outliers by different regions. So one of those, for instance, was in the United States. Cat parents tended to be a bit more concerned about cat anxiety. That was not a health condition that was top of mind for any of the other three markets that were surveyed. And also, I believe in the UK, for example, cat parents were a little bit more concerned about dental issues. And that, again, was not something that we saw in the other three markets. So there were some regional differences. And I think one of the really interesting learnings for us as a really research-centric organization that we were very excited to see is that about 70%, I believe this was the U.S. audience of cat parents, they're actually seeking research backed by cat-specific research. And again, you know, back to the kind of validating this insight. So for Cargill and for, you know, any pet food brand, it is common to kind of leverage general pet research that covers both dogs and cats. And we were really excited about this insight because it really does support the need for our industry to put more resources behind cat-specific research, because not only is it just a best practice, but it's, you know, we're finding it's actually something that cat parents are seeking.
Very true. And as we say, as us cat people say, cats are not little dogs.
Exactly.
Cats, you know, and the stat I find fascinating is that, and I've heard little variations between a couple percentages, but approximately 95% of your cat's makeup is 95% true to, I think it's a tiger.
Interesting.
Because they're domesticated, but not nearly so as dogs. That's why they do some of the things they do. But getting back to your study, what did the study reveal about cat parents and nutrition? Was there a lot of similarities or a lot of variances between the four countries?
Yeah. So again, there was a lot of consistency across all of the regions. And when it comes to really uncovering one of our key questions, which again was, you know, are cat parents actually satisfied with their nutrition choices out there? We actually found that nearly 3/4 of respondents believe that their cat's food plays a role in preventing health conditions, but really just 40% say that they're actually satisfied with a variety of foods and treats available in their market to support their cat's health challenges. Probably amongst all four of the regions that we evaluated, the contrast was actually widest in France, where 57% were concerned about those health conditions, but only 33% of them were actually satisfied with what's available for their nutrition offering. We also found that, you know, when cats do face a health challenge, that, you know, nearly 3/4 of cat parents say that they just make changes to the cat's diet. And the two leading changes they make to their diet were, the firstly, it's 38% of those cat parents, they just switch brands. And then about 1/4 of them switch to a veterinarian prescribed diet. So I think there's, you know, an opportunity or an insight there for cat food brands to really think about these health challenges are really kind of a key trigger, potentially brand switching moment, and an opportunity to kind of be there when cat parents need them and provide those foods and treats and even supplements within their brands. So as they're thinking about other options, they can at least, you know, have different choices still with a brand that they trust.
So Chad, there was a lot of differences in your study about the types of food. And I was surprised to see that more cat parents give their cats dry food versus wet.
Yes, and that's particularly more common in the US than in Europe. But actually, you know, we do see a lot of mixed use of. So what was kind of interesting in the study, and I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but most of the cat parents are not necessarily using one or the other. They are using both a wet food or a dry food in combination. And a lot of times, you know, that dry food is very good even for your dental health and your oral health, because it's useful in keeping those teeth clean. And that can be a potential issue when you're on strictly a wet food diet. It can kind of be rougher on the cat's teeth. I'm not a nutritionist, but that's at least what I hear.
No, I agree. And we do a combination, and the dry food is actually very high protein, but cat's teeth can be challenging to clean. Cats have a lot of bacteria in their mouth. So you have that, and a lot of wet food, because cats don't always drink enough water. We have 4 fountains, but that's another, you know, something interesting that's out there. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Chad Wethel regarding the Cargill survey they just did, Cargill study they just did on cat nutrition, different things about cats. So, Chad, how can cat parents ease their concerns about their cat's health, especially since so much of it is through diet?
Right. Yeah. So one of the really great things, and this wasn't in the study, it's kind of, again, going back to the Innova new product development market insight partner that we work with, and they track all of the new product developments that happen all around the world. A new product development could be a brand new product. It could be a reformulation, a new channel. So all of the different new ways that products are being made available to a consumer. And the good news for cat parents around the world is that in 2023, more than half of all global new product developments for cat foods and treats contained a proactive health claim. So think in terms of anything from gut health and digestive health, immunity, eye health, brain health, you know, kind of et cetera. So if there is a specific health concern, there is likely, you know, a nutrition solution for it. But also, you know, we have to say, regardless of which choice that you make, you always work very closely with a trained pet nutritionist or your veterinarian to develop that custom nutrition plan to address your cat's specific health needs.
Okay. And I would just like to mention, because I have it actually open, I didn't memorize this, but as far as concerns for the health claims that matter most to pet parents, it's interesting that gut health was pretty much number one in 3 countries, number 2 in Germany. And I've never heard so much about gut health. What is your thought on that? I mean, all of a sudden we're interested in probiotics for our cats and gut health, and it's huge right now.
Absolutely. You know, and it's all really part of, I don't even like to call it a trend anymore, but just the whole concept of humanization, right? That's really been driving premiumization of the global pet food industry for a number of years now. And so I think that's where you're really starting to see a lot of very similar claims, a lot of very similar ingredients, a lot of very similar even food attributes that your aromas, things like that, that are actually making their way from human nutrition into pet nutrition. Probably 5 years ago, you would say, oh, there's about a 10-year gap between, you know, a trend that happens in the human industry, food and beverage industry, into the pet industry. Today, that gap is almost non-existent. I mean, we work with pet food, pet treat, and pet supplement brands, and you're seeing this really, these trends really play out in real time. A lot of times you'll see a trend happening in the human food and beverage industry, and really within the next year, you're seeing it pop up in pet as well. And so I think that's where you're starting to see things like gut health and digestive health really grow, and not just grow and be the leading claim, but they are by far the leading claim, and they have been the leading claim for a number of years, even though that's something that we are pretty accustomed to seeing in some of our health choices in our own foods and beverages. And I think there's a lot of growing research happening in the area of gut health and digestive health, where we're starting to learn so much more about the gut's role in supporting overall pet health. So if we can keep the gut healthy, chances are we can keep the pet healthy.
Yep, that certainly makes sense. You mentioned a little bit of this, but just so our audience knows, how is Cargill involved in the cat food industry?
Yes, absolutely. So like I said, we help businesses of all sizes and brands of all sizes innovate their products with ingredients such as like our postbiotic ingredients that are added to their products. And in the case of these postbiotics, it's a relatively new ingredient in the pet wellness and nutrition space, but we're finding it to be a really efficient way to really, back to what we were just talking about, really support gut health and support then therefore the overall wellness of our pets. We're especially proud of our postbiotics because we have some new cat research, and that's backed by over a dozen dog research studies as well, that show that if we can really help support that gut and that healthy gut flora, we can actually then have more balanced immunity, more energy for your pet. And even in the case of dogs, actually, we've even linked that gut health to breath freshness. So we really try to really help our customers innovate and keep pushing the boundaries and kind of what's possible in supporting that premium pet health and wellness sector.
So Chad, you're a cat parent and you just analyzed this fascinating study. Was there anything that you expected to be important or maybe not at all important from just your point of view as a cat parent?
Yeah, you know, one of the areas that we would have expected to see higher on the list of health claims that were more important was we've seen a lot work in the area of hairball and kidney or urinary health, even a lot of really cool things happening in allergy recently. So we were kind of expecting more in those claims areas to be a little bit higher on the priority list versus some of the kind of what we'll call the tried and true claims like your gut health, your immune health. And so that was an area. And I think perhaps that is something that is just still newer in the area of innovation in the pet food space, maybe not newer in terms of new health issues for cats, but newer in terms of how nutrition can actually influence and make a positive influence on those health concerns that maybe several years ago or many years ago, you wouldn't be able to really address those issues, target those issues specifically with a commercial bag of feed.
Exactly. What changes do you see in the cat food industry regarding product development?
So, you know, this industry is really growing very fast. Actually, in 2023 alone, there was over 10,000 new products introduced to the global cat food and treat marketplace, which was really double from what it was in 2022 and three times more than what it was in 2020. So I think the good news for our industry is that while there is still this, you know, disparity or perceived disparity between what might be available and to our cat parents, the good news is that the industry does seem to be catching up and providing more of these new products. You know, you go in any grocery store or pet store and everyone knows the cat area is always significantly smaller than the dog. It seems like the dog parents have just a lot more fun when they can go to the store and they have just so many more options to choose from. So I think as the growth of the market changes and we see these new products continually coming to the market, it's really going to be exciting to start to see not just more of these products hit the shelves, but more functional products hit the shelves as well. So it's not just about more options. It's about having more meaningful nutrition choices for our cats.
And as cat parents, we are glad to hear that. How do you see the cat food industry changing, say, in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think it's more of that, not just more, but I think you're going to start to see a lot more diversification in the premium segment, right? So it's not going to be just about claims. You're going to start to, I think, start seeing a lot more unique and novel product forms. I think fresh food is a really exciting area that we're seeing really explode more in the dog space. But I think we'll start to see more of that in the feline space as well. More of these, as these D2C or direct to consumer models really start coming into their own, I think we're going to start seeing a lot of these really cool options for cat parents. I think you're going to start to see a lot more functional treats come into play. We know that one of the pieces I actually don't think was in the report, so we actually did ask about cat supplementation, and almost none of the cat parents actually are giving their cat a supplement. I think, you know, giving a cat a supplement is a very different experience from giving a dog a supplement, right? It's not as user-friendly of an experience. So I think functional treats are an area that will really maybe play a much stronger role in keeping our pets healthy while still having a nice bonding experience of giving that to our cat. So I really do envision it playing catch up to what is available currently in the dog space, honestly. And then from there, you know, I think we'll start to see a little bit more shoulder to shoulder innovation as our dog counterparts are innovating alongside cat innovations.
I absolutely agree. I just recently had a show and where they came out, it's a treat supplement. It's almost impossible to get a cat to swallow a pill, and even shooting the medicine, not it's not easy if you've ever had to do that, Chad. But I do definitely see the trend toward more supplement or nutrition, not even nutritional, but even probiotic type treats. And it's fascinating what's happening. It's coming out for dogs. And then it seems like a lot of these treats are their dosage and the flavors, and they have to work a little harder because cats have different palates, but we're getting there. So interesting that you said that. Chad, thank you so much for coming on Catitude and sharing the findings of this study. I find it fascinating, and I'm so glad to hear that in the last few years, cats are getting their share of the market. And as a cat parent, you must be thrilled about that.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, we've got both spectrums. We've got a young cat, we've got an older cat, and they're both on different diets. And it's just nice to know that, you know, we're, as an industry, we're continuing to evolve so that, you know, really all cats can live more healthy and active days.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude, and say hi to it's Sylvester and Toby.
Yep.
Okay. Say hi to them. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed this show. I found it so interesting. So I want to thank Chad from Cargill for coming on the show. Thank you so much to my cat crew for, hey, just being cats. Thanks, Charlotte, Dennis, and Molly. Thanks, of course, to everybody listening to Catitude. I appreciate it so much. And thank you. The show wouldn't be what it is without the magic of Mark Winter, my producer, for making me and my guests sound amazing. So, hey, remember, lose the attitude of catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.